herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Wellbeing Anna, dein Podcast für einen gesunden Geist in einem gesunden Körper. Mein Name ist Anna und ich freue mich riesig, dass du heute eingeschaltet hast zu einer ganz, ganz besonderen Episode. Ich freue mich so sehr, sie mit dir teilen zu dürfen. Ich hatte Anna-Maria Clement im Podcast zu Gast und Anna-Maria ist zusammen mit ihrem Mann Brian die Leiterin des Hippocrates Health Centers in Florida. Und dieses Institut, dieses Resort, also das Hippocrates Health Center, ist seit über 70 Jahren das weltweit führende und jetzt größte Gesundheitszentrum der Welt. Und es ist mir wirklich eine Ehre, Anna-Marias Weisheiten hier zu teilen, ihre Geschichte zu teilen, wie sie mit 15 Jahren zur veganen Ernährung gekommen ist, was über 50 Jahre her ist, über 53 Jahre her. Anna-Maria ist 68 Jahre jung und ist schon über 53 Jahre vegan. Und man kann sich vorstellen, wie das damals noch, was das damals einfach bedeutet hat und für eine Ausnahme war. Und es ist so inspirierend, dieses Interview. Sie teilt ihren Weg, sie teilt ihre Erfahrung, was eine gesunde Ernährung ausmacht. Sie teilt die Bausteine des Hippocrates Instituts und so, so viel mehr. Es ist in zwei Teile aufgeteilt. Es ist sehr, sehr viel Input, sehr intens, aber ich glaube, so wertvoll und vielleicht gut, diese Folge auch zweimal zu hören oder dreimal zu hören, weil sie wirklich so kompakt ist. Deswegen habe ich sie auch in zwei Teile geteilt. Heute bekommst du Teil 1, nächste Woche bekommst du Teil 2. Und sie ist auf Englisch. Genau, also Anna-Maria kommt ursprünglich aus Schweden, lebt jetzt seit 40 Jahren in den USA, hat Brian dort kennengelernt und ich freue mich ganz, ganz riesig, diese Folge mit dir teilen zu dürfen. Komm gerne bei Instagram vorbei, wenn du Fragen hast, dann lass mir deine Gedanken da und gerne deine Fragen und was du denkst und was du vielleicht für dich mitgenommen hast, deine wichtigste Erkenntnis. Ich danke dir, ich wünsche dir ganz, ganz viel Freude beim Reinhören und ja, genieß diese Folge. It's an honor and I love to welcome you, Anna-Maria Clement. It's such a pleasure for me to have you on the podcast. Thank you for your time. Please, maybe you can tell my community something. Where are you coming from? Where did you live? What is your way to live a plant-based diet, a really, really healthy diet? And now you are leading like the leading global center in Florida for wellness, for health, for longevity. And please introduce yourself and a big thank you for your wisdoms, which you will share today with us.
Thank you, Anna. I am pleased to be here and I'm always pleased to share with anybody that wants to hear this because, you know, we all are on a different journey in our life. We take care of ourselves or we don't take care of ourselves, but eventually we have to take care of ourselves. And I was lucky. I'm born in Sweden and I became vegan at 15 and more or less fumbled into it. Didn't really know what it means because in those days, I'm 68 now, so you imagine then people didn't talk. There were no big health stores. There were small health store that had a few books and it would talk about root vegetables and beans and, you know, a few things. So it was very limited. The world has opened up now so amazingly. It's totally different. And we've been a forerunner. The Hippocrates Wellness Institute is in Florida. It started a long time ago with a Lithuanian woman, Ann Wigmore, who lived in Boston and who had got stage 4 colon cancer And I heard about her. Well, long story short, so at 15, I became vegan, slowly but surely. By 18, when I finished gymnasium or high school, I wanted to study with people in this field. And as I looked at them, there were like 50 clinics all over in Sweden, and beautiful places in mountains or by lakes or by the ocean. And the closest one was just an hour away from our house. And this lady had healed herself from rheumatoid arthritis. Well, so on Wigmore, at the same time, kind of were healing herself of stage 4 colon cancer. And they both did it naturally. They both went 100% natural with plants and herbs and grasses. And as they healed, well, Alma came from Denmark and she came up to Stockholm, and there was a lot of people in the health field that begged her to open a clinic for rheumatoid arthritis, for arthritis. And of course, then after a while specialized in everything except cancer. So I came to her, and by 19, I directed that clinic. It was fantastic. It was so much fun. People stayed many months. And they left medication of asthma, of arthritis, of colitis and Crohn's and all the things. But I still was wondering about cancer. So Ann Wigmore had her first lecture in Stockholm, 1976. And she said, I healed cancer. And I'm like, of course, it works for everything else. So I connected with her, and she actually came to our clinic the next day to see us. And then I thought, one day I have to go and see what she does so that I can implement it in Sweden. Well, then I went in 1980, I met Brian, and I never made it back. So I came to Boston, where the institute was, but it was like here in Hamburg, like, you know, a sixth floor building. And there was no room to expand or, you know, do a spa. And it was just rooms and a conference hall and kitchen. And the kitchen was very small because you don't need a big kitchen for raw food. Mm-hmm. But we had a lot of sprouts. So they were, we had shelves in all the windows, and all the sprouts were beautifully there. Well, so then Brian and I moved the institute 1987. We opened in West Palm Beach, Florida. So we've been there since 1987, and now we could expand. We'd be outdoors, we have pools, we have saunas, and, you know, many houses to live in too. So the deal, I think, for me, and we have four children, is that it's been a journey in our life, and the institute grew with us as we could expand our own thinking too. Because first we all tend to take care of our body because it's the need of the body, the feeding, the elimination, the cleansing, right? But we don't want to be stuck there forever. We want to be able to expand it spiritually too. And of course, emotionally. So when we have disease, then I'm constantly back in that space where feeding and nurturing my body. The thing is, why we could have learned instead how to do all that in childhood years, and then I can grow and then be the human that I wanted to be. You know, working in this field for so many years, as I have more than 50 years now, and I find that we don't want to lose our journey. We don't want to lose our trend. Like, for example, if you play tennis, you don't want to lose the practice of doing that. But after a while, it's not like you're thinking of how I'm walking and how I'm running and how I'm holding the tennis racket. It's like that is just naturally there. And it's really the same. I exercise every day. I walk, I do weight training. Every other day I do weight training, and it's just a part of life. I do sauna every day because I want to cleanse. I want to eliminate. So I drink lots of fluids in the morning so my body cleanses. But I don't want to have to think about that every day. It should be a part of me existing so that I'm healthy. Because what happens when you lose your health, then it's all about that. It's all about getting strong again. It's all about elimination and cleansing and feeding the body. So, and that's where most people are at, unfortunately. It's that daily fight to survive. And because we've created diseases, I mean, huge corporation that doesn't have any shame in producing products for us that have so many chemicals, and even America has more than Europe has, because we are allowing the worst stuff to be in our food, and so people get sick from it. So the Hippocrates Wellness is for everybody. It's for people that are healthy, that wants just to have a good vacation and be more educated and have psychology, making themselves go to the next level, you know. And whatever that level is, we're all on different levels. So exercise is a big part because it's fun. We have a lot. We have weight training. We have all kinds of even chair exercise for older guests that maybe are not in such good trim, but they should be in good shape by the time they leave. We have all kinds of pool exercise. And so exercise become a fun thing. We make it fun where people thought of not going to a gym because those are people that gonna intimidate you because they look good and you might not be in good shape. We don't have that. I tell people, let's say they just finished cancer treatments and they don't have hair. I said, don't wear any wig. Wear your beautiful self like you are, and in the bathing suit if I'm big and I feel like I'm not looking as good as I should. I said, don't worry. Put the bathing suit on in the pool. Let's do things to make yourself feel good. So our kids are in this lifestyle, and one of them will continue the institute. He's studying medicine right now in Sweden, and he will have dual citizenship, so he can practice in Europe and in America in future. And he understands what we've been doing, what Brian and I have been doing, because Brian and I, my husband, took the lifestyle to a different level. For example, the 50 clinics that were in Sweden. And there were lots in Norway, Denmark, Finland. You know, I would visit them all. They're all gone. The old style of health clinics are gone. And the good thing about what has started with Ann Wigmore, who started Hippocrates in Boston, was that she said, we're going to educate people.
Yes, this is the most important.
The most important. And because if I do everything for you, you go home and you're like, I don't know how to do this. So we educate. So there's like 20 lectures a week, just educating, having fun with exercise, psychology sessions and group sessions that changes people's life. So our life is fulfilled. But every day you want it to be filled more.
Yes.
Because you never stop learning and you never take anything for granted. You take your health as good as you can every day. Don't take it for granted, because, and that's what people do. They expect the body to fix itself. And if you look, let's say your car, but if I put milk into the gas and I'm not going to drive that car, right? And a body of humans are plant-based. We don't have claws. We don't have fangs. Our intestinal tract is 6 times our length. If you were a carnivore, you had fangs, you had claws, and you only had double your size of intestinal tract. So that we were not meant for it. And when we're fighting to eat foods we were not meant, we get sick. And it's such a shame. And I feel so, it breaks my heart. Every person that comes with cancer, arthritis, Alzheimer, colitis, Crohn's, you know, all the things that, and Lyme now, a lot of people suffer Lyme. Because it's the lifestyle that was created for us. But, you know, let's look at ourselves this way. For example, let's say you're in the airplane and we're just now landing in Frankfurt. But the pilot suddenly says, you know, I don't know how to land this plane. And and you realize it's a crazy person. This is most of the leaders in the world. And so we're relying on them landing, and we're going to have to start to land ourselves. We're going to have to take care. We do it with our wallet. So when you go to the store and you go to the bio instead of the normal store and you buy organic or biodynamic, then you are being an example that you want to be a part of climate change. You don't want to be a part of the biggest part that is creating climate change is actually the animal factories that we have now. So and a lot of people start saying, well, let's eat less meat. No, let's eat no meat. Let's eat no chicken. Let's eat no dairy. Because all of this is actually creating problems for the climate. But the biggest problem is actually ourself and our future, our children. Now, for example, cancer is coming under 50 now. And if when they test, for example, research for children up to 19 years old, it's bigger than it ever has been. So we're talking brain cancer, we're talking bone cancer, and mainly a lot of gastrointestinal, rectal, and stomach cancer. And this is horrendous. This should not even be a factor of one, because you, when you start your life and you end up on doing heavy duty chemo, radiation treatment, surgeries, what is your life after that? If you would learn how to take care of that child afterwards, you would eliminate a lot of problem later in their life. They're not told that. They're told just now, you're fine, you can eat and do anything you want to. And then later on, when they have a problem, they will say, well, that's statistically, that's what's going to happen. You could get cancer back because of the treatments that we did. The more aggressive treatment, more chance to have the cancer back or other problems. So it's outrageous that kids have to fight for their life for cancer. There are so many that have this now. So our heart breaks for that. We are working with children. Of course, families come with their children. We just had an 8-year-old with brain cancer. We had a 3-year-old with brain cancer. And we just had them at the institute with their parents, of course. For us, it's education. We don't have patients. For us, everybody is a guest at the institute. And we feed you, we take care of you. And it changes people's view of life, and it changes the way that they want to take care of themselves and make space for care, so that they can go to the next level of spirituality. All healing is spiritual, but I think all of us need spirituality. Whatever that's called, that is not really religion, because religion is also corrupted. And everybody needs whatever you call it, God, or whatever you call it, a tree, or, you know, you need that in your life. And you always will be lacking as long as you don't have that, because you know that there is something beyond yourself. And you know, I just did an interview about women and women's needs and our space, and how important it is that we, as a nurturer, of course, we give birth, we nurse, we raise, but that women are treated equally. And that's, as a mother of two boys, two girls, that is really our chance to raise our boys to know that they are equal, that the girls are equal. And they have amazing marriages. They have amazing because they were taught from the beginning. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing the girls can't do. And we are good at certain things, like between Brian and me, I am the handyman. I can do the hammering and screwing things on the wall and do all that. I'm very good at that because I'm very practical. Brian's much more theoretical, and so he helps me when I'm writing things. I write and then he edits. Nice. And because he knows how to do that. And, you know, it's, you have different qualities.
Yes.
And as long as we are fine with that, and we don't feel like, oh, I can't do everything. No, nobody can do everything. It's fine. But there are something that you are better at than anybody else. And that should make you so proud and make your self-esteem so high. But, you know, you also have in this world these exploitations of women and children that's happening more than ever. And I know USA is the biggest one, but it's happening here in Europe. I was shocked when I heard Sweden, even it happens, that women are sex slaves. And it's like, how did this happen? Where did these people come from? So that is a whole other group of people that exploits these women and some men. And so women need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to have space, our space, and our pride of who we are and what we're able to do. But we also have to be careful in this world. Mm-hmm. I think the young generation is, they say they are more empathetic, like what the wars that are going on, their heart breaks for all of this, but they also are less trusting. They are less trusting of what the world, what the leaders and corporations are doing. And if we can catch that and educate it, it will be amazing. Mm. Because now we can mold them to feel good about what they're doing. And yes, being vegan, it's not everything, but it's the beginning. It changes your mindset. I see it with people at the Institute. They come in and they're meat eaters and, you know, it's like rough. And then after 3 or 4 weeks, some people stay longer, but our program is 3, or for cancer program is 4 weeks. Well, they change.
Yes.
They totally change, and they're kind and they're respectful, and they become really respectful for what they've learned, and they come back. More than 80% comes back, because it's like, where do you get that kind of trust, love, education? It's very few places that have that, but we need, that needs to grow. And each person, I feel, each person that goes through a program like that will expand it and be an example for other people.
Yes, and the most important is that everybody is starting like with itself, like I start here where I am and I do my best, and I feed myself and then I can feed others and help others.
Right.
And that's the thing also what's so important, what you said is we have power with our pocket, because where we spend our money, it will grow. And if we spend it in the supermarket, like for meat and milk products, for sure they will produce more.
Yes.
So this is what people have to understand, that they can change so much how they act and what they eat.
Yeah. Yes. And you support organic or biodynamic farmers. You support them when they have farmers markets. And, you know, people work very hard. I do gardening at the Institute. And it's a lot of work when you do it naturally organic, because you don't use any chemicals, but you use good soil. And the good soil is just like your body. Actually, all the minerals in the soil you have in your body. So you were born with this microbiome from your mother that was supposed to support you all your life. But it's changed every time. If I drink Coca-Cola or wine or eat meat, I change it. And when I go vegan, I tell the guests at the Institute, now you're changing your microbiome. Mm-hmm. Now it's a vegan microbiome. It's totally plant-based. And cancer doesn't like that, because bacteria and virus and fungus and parasites, they love the bad stuff, the sugar and the alcohol and the meat. And they just flourish in that. So now you take it away, they'll die. They'll die. Yes. They won't have a chance. But as soon as I drink a Coca-Cola after, I tell them, if you drink Coca-Cola after this visit, you change it again. So it goes fast both ways.
Yes.
So it's a commitment. But do we want to have to all the time go back and forth instead of saying, okay, I commit, I focus, and then I can go to the next level. What do I want to do with this life? What is my purpose here in this world? What do I want to contribute? Mm-hmm. But as long as I have to always take care of this body, then it's like it pulls me down all the time. And I don't make it there. And I'm always exhausted. And I see it when people come in. It's like, oh, I've done this surgery, that surgery, this treatment. I don't want to do it anymore. Well, now it's commitment and focus. That's all it takes. But that's what it takes. If you want to be a tennis star, if you want to be a star in any sports, it takes that focus and commitment. And it's the same of living, but we don't think of it that way. Living a healthy life takes focus and commitment. And, you know, it's so simple when you really think about it. And in our life, that's what I've done since I was 15.
Ich hoffe, dass du genauso inspiriert bist wie ich. Ich weiß noch, ich habe Anna-Maria in Hamburg getroffen, saß mit ihr zusammen für, ich glaube, fast 2 Stunden. Wir haben danach noch ganz viel gequatscht und uns ausgetauscht. Und ich bin voller Inspiration, so richtig lebendig aus diesem Gespräch rausgegangen. Das ist so eine inspirierende Frau und ich habe ein ganz großes Vorbild für mich, und es war nochmal so on point, wie sie alles zusammengefasst hat, das, was ich fühle, das, was ich erfahren habe, was so ein bisschen vielleicht auch meine Essenz ist oder mein Weg war, und war mit ihr einfach so unfassbar auf einer Wellenlänge, deswegen freut es mich so sehr, dass sie sich die Zeit genommen hat, und ich hoffe, dass das Interview dir gefallen hat und dass du einfach wirklich für deinen Weg ganz viel mitnehmen kannst. Ich danke dir für dein Vertrauen. Ich danke dir, dass du diesen Podcast unterstützt, und ja, wünsche dir einen wundervollen restlichen Tag, eine wundervolle restliche Woche. Danke, dass es dich gibt. Du bist wundervoll, genau so wie du bist. Nourish your mind and body wisely. Deine Anna.